Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're listening today, thank you for making us a part of your day. Thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate you listening. We appreciate your questions. I'm going to spend today going over some of those questions that have been submitted via email and via the website. If you have a question that has been keeping you up at night, something about your financial planning, something about your estate planning, or something about your taxes, please submit those to askbo at pfgwm.com or on investingsimplifiedradio.com. We do our best to answer those questions for you as we are still unable to be recording in the studio and taking your phone calls on air for the foreseeable future as we continue to navigate this COVID-19 epidemic. I want to thank you for listening and struggling through. As you may hear today, I'm a little bit less congested, but last week I was severely congested. I know I have had folks that have asked, no, I don't have COVID-19. I'm not dealing with coronavirus, as of now. We can certainly hope not. I just have either developed seasonal allergies in the last year or just have a pretty gnarly cold. But as you sort of power through, it makes it all that much more important to be looking at wearing a mask and being safe out there as we try to navigate our way through this new world order that we have with the coronavirus. I wanted to take care of a little bit of housekeeping as we open up the show as well. Folks who are on my newsletter that we send out from Price Financial Group Wealth Management already heard about this. If you want to get on the free newsletter, visit pfgwm.com. You can sign up for the newsletter. Again, it doesn't sign you up. We don't sell your information. Everything is kept private. All it asks for is an email, and each week you will get our updates on the markets, what we're seeing going on out there from a tax perspective, as well as just general updates about the firm. And one of those updates, as folks have been listening know, we do have an office in the Bethany area of Beaverton available for folks to come and sit down with a member of our team. We also have an office in, we call it Southwest Portland or Tigard, but it's right off of 72nd and 217. We have an office space near Clackamas Town Center off Sunnyside Road, and we also have a Vancouver location where we have team members who are able to meet with you if you have questions about your financial planning, about insurance, about annuities, about taxes, any of those things that have been going on in your life that you'd like to talk to somebody about. Give us a call, 503-253-3000, if you'd like to sit down and go over that. Again, we do a no obligation consultation, just kind of going over where you're at, give you an idea of what we see and what, potholes there may be in your plan, what things may come up on that roadmap. Consider us, if you're an app user, we're your Waze, right? So not only are we giving you the directions like a Thomas guy does, but we try to identify those traffic jams. And we, because of our experience, because we see what's going on out there, we are able to oftentimes help folks navigate those potholes or those traffic jams that come up because we've seen them. Because in our experience, we have seen them, we have noted them. Price Financial Group Wealth Management has been around for a long time. Chuck retired this year, 2020, with the 50-year mark of working in the business. I, again, am hopeful that I can get him to come on to the show sometime soon. He is, you know, staying at home and staying safe, you know, in the Vancouver area. So hopefully I'm able to get him to join via Zoom or via phone, hopefully in the near future. As that happens, I will certainly keep you apprised, as I know listeners have been missing him over the last year because his is a voice that we miss. And especially, I know he's got some things to say. I know he's got some stuff to get off his chest, stuff that's probably been bugging him for a while. And with the Blazers in the playoffs, with the election coming up, with all these different things that are out there, I think he definitely would have something to share with us all. And Taylor and Kevin will not be on this week either, as they are, you know, scheduling is difficult when, you know, you're running successful practices, but I'm hopeful to have them on here coming up soon. But one thing I really wanted to announce that I'm really excited about, and it's been in the works for a while as we continue to grow Price Financial Group Wealth Management here in Portland to be able to better serve our clients and serve folks here around town, is we are bringing on I'm certified financial planner, but we're going to bring on, you know, a chief investment officer onto the firm, and he's going to be on the show next week talking through investments. So if you get those deep dives, I know a lot of folks have had questions that are specific investment-related questions, like specific funds or specific stocks or different things like that. And he is going to be running that for our firm. So I'm really excited to have him on. And in the coming weeks, we're also going to have some big-time money managers that we partner with and otherwise that we use that come on, some economists, different information, just to give you as much information as possible to help you make the best decisions about your money. Because as Chuck often said, and as we've talked through on the program, what you don't know can hurt you. And information is truly power, folks. And so we want to make sure that you have the best information out there, because when people make decisions without all that information, you know, it's like flying a plane without all the instruments. You want to get on a plane where the pilot can't drive the plane, doesn't have all the instruments to tell him what's going on. Well, a lot of those things, those market internals, those things that are happening behind the scenes that we don't get to see as individuals, these money managers that manage institutional funds can see, and they can tell us about what they're seeing. Now, does that mean they're right all the time? Absolutely not. Most economists will tell you, if they're worth anything, they'll tell you that this is what I think and this is how it should go, but it may go the other way. Which brings me to that point of what's happening in the market and how it's crazy, because it is just crazy. I just got off the phone actually with a client before coming on here talking about, you know, whether now is a good time to jump into the, you know, the SPY, the S&P 500, or should we wait till after the election, and what's my crystal ball saying? And unfortunately, my crystal ball is very cloudy when it comes to this market that is behaving absolutely bonkers bananas compared to historical norms, right? If we're looking at the news that has come out, now lately we've had some better coronavirus news. We've had cases seeming to come down. But then on the other hand, you'll get other news out that says, hey, this, you know, 70% of doctors or something like that doesn't believe that it's going to be anywhere near controlled even by this time next year. So you get, you know, back and forth news on that. We're heading into an election cycle, which looks to be pretty, you know, a pretty contentious election and probably a close fought election, whichever way it goes. I don't think either candidate wins in any sort of a landslide. I think it's going to be similar to 2016, where it's a very close election. I don't have any predictions on which way it's going to go because, again, my crystal ball is terrible and I can't predict anything really. But all those things should add up to, you know, we should be having more downside in this market. And while we've had intraday downside, and there's every other day we'll have a little bit of movement down, mostly it's been up. And it's just been melting up and up as the Fed prints more money, injects more money into the money supply. They're actually buying bonds and bond ETFs. But if you look at, interestingly enough, if you look at the internals and the technical aspects of the market, you could notice that when the Fed was buying a lot of bonds and then they sort of tapered off a little bit back in June in terms of all the different derivatives and things that they were buying, and the market did experience a nice little pullback. It did pull back a skosh, get back a little bit, and slow down just a little bit, right? So that was an interesting development in the market. And they have started to do that again. They have backed off some of the buying. And so I think that could skew downward in the market, at least in the coming days. I think, you know, historically, August, September, October have been the most drawdown days in the market. So I think, you know, if you're looking at it from a timing standpoint, if you're sitting on a bunch of cash, I think now is not the time to put it all in. Does that mean you shouldn't put some to work? No, you should put some probably and start dollar cost averaging in. But I think that we're going to have some more volatility, and I think we're going to have some downside pressure. Does that mean we're going to crash and go back to March lows? No, I don't think that that's going to happen, but it is a very real possibility. But I don't think that that's going to happen. You know, our current thesis is that we're going to have a nice, healthy pullback, maybe to the 3,200, 3,100 level, which would be a significant pullback, right, folks? I mean, that's almost 10% from where we are now. And so if we had that kind of a pullback into that you know, level, A, as a technical, from a technical standpoint in the market, there's a lot of good support right there to bounce off of. But B, as a psychological standpoint, I think that's when a lot of people are going to be buying in and trying to buy more. But one thing that really concerns me is that we have all these sort of confluence of technical events that are coming up here in the next couple of weeks, which I think could cause the market to have a nice, healthy pullback. And that, like I said, I want to reiterate, it is healthy for the market to have at least a 10% pullback or a correction, if you want to call it, depending on, you know, verbiage and who you talk to. But it should do 10% back at least a few times a year, right? And we had our big drop earlier this year, right? 35%, which we'd been needing for a while, and it took the coronavirus and the government enforced shutdown to kind of cause that. But then when the government stepped in and reacted to economic factors, high unemployment, you know, all these different things, it has pulled that sort of that piece back. We bounced back really fast. Now we're at an impasse for further stimulus measures, and you can have your opinion on whether or not that's good overall. I disagree that it is good overall for a long-term perspective, because we're just, you know, increasing more and more debt. And generally speaking, I don't think government spending is particularly good in the long run. But for the short term, it certainly helped. And it certainly helped the stock market, because you saw Charles Schwab, TD Ameritrade, Robinhood, you know, that was a trading platform that just started, but E-Trade, all these do-it-yourself trading platforms saw a record number of new accounts opened over the last 6 months. And that was a lot of people getting their stimulus money, having to be at home, putting it to work and trying to go buy some stocks. And that has caused severe over-concentration in some stocks. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, why I see the danger specifically in the S&P 500. But at the same time, I'm not a perma bear. I'm not, you know, super, super bearish on the market. I think I remain overall bullish down the line. But there's a lot of different things that play into it and that can, you know, work out both ways. So stay tuned. We're going to take a little bit of a break here, and then we'll come back with some more market talk. We'll talk about some tax issues and some questions that have come in from listeners. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is Bo Caldwell, CFP, President of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Thanks for tuning in, or thanks for sticking with us if you've been here so far today. I've been talking a little bit about retirement risks and, you know, stock market risks. And obviously, if you have money that's exposed to the market, whether that's in stocks or bonds, then that is going to be the number one risk to your retirement or to your financial plan, right, is going to be stock market risk. And I was talking a little bit in the last segment about how looking in the next couple of months, I see some definite choppy waters coming from the S&P 500. And one of the big reasons is that actually 25% of the S&P 500. So if you don't know, the S&P 500 is 500 stocks, right? It's the 500 biggest stocks by market capitalization, meaning the number of shares outstanding by their price. So the worth, the highest worth companies in the U.S. market is in the S&P 500. But 25% or one quarter of the value of the S&P 500 is tied up in five stocks. And you know them, right? They're the Facebooks, the Apples, the Amazons, the Googles of the world, right? And Microsoft. So those five stocks, which are obviously prepped and doing well in the pandemic, right? They've been poised to do well in the pandemic. But those five have driven the return in the S&P 500. And you can see that the dichotomy, you know, between the S&P 500, which has worked its way back to, you know, to all-time highs or near all-time highs from back in February, so worked its way back to positive for the year, versus the NASDAQ. So if you've been invested in the NASDAQ, then you are going to be, you know, getting a much better return so far this year than the S&P 500 itself. Not only has the NASDAQ climbed above its all-time high that it had back in February, but you, if you just bought into the NASDAQ, which you can't buy the index, for those that think, oh, I'm just going to go buy the index, you have to buy it with a proxy, whether that's an index fund or something that tracks the index. You can also buy futures if you're a trader, but I think that that's a little more complicated than most folks want to get into. It's certainly more complicated than I like to do. But if you had bought the NASDAQ, you'd be up over 20% so far this year. So imagine if you could say to somebody, hey, I was up over 20% when the market had its worst downturn in recent memory, and the fastest, sharpest downswing that we had in March. If you had held on to those NASDAQ stocks, then it's rocketed up. And so then the question begs, well, why don't I just buy the NASDAQ? Why don't I buy the tech stocks? And the thing is, you can, and in the long term, if you're still in accumulation phase, if you're still saving money, you're 20, 30 years from retirement, yeah, I would say go for it. Buy the NQ futures or buy the NASDAQ 100, you know, ETF or index fund that tracks the NASDAQ, right? So buy one of these funds that tracks these tech companies, because the Zooms, the Apples, the Amazons, the Microsofts of the world have done really, really well to start this year. And it makes sense, right? Shopify, Spotify, these things that are pandemic proof, this tech company swing. And let's not even, you know, get into Tesla, which we could just, you know, is a crazy valuation in a stock. And we don't have to talk about how that's, I think, driven, you know, to a certain extent by the fact that Elon Musk, you know, makes another $200 billion because he gets stock options that fast. And, you know, there's a whole lot of things that I don't need to get into, because it's just going to upset me, because anyway. So, but you could buy the NASDAQ and hold on for the ride. And as you're accumulating, it could be a really great thing to do. And there's a statistic that comes across a lot. And I was actually just talking with some friends of mine, actually from high school. And they were talking about, hey, you know, 90-something% of hedge funds don't outperform the S&P. And I said, yeah, that's true, because they're managing risk. They're not looking for just to track the S&P. If you're just tracking the S&P or just tracking the NASDAQ, why not buy the index or the index fund? There's no reason not to go to Vanguard and just buy Vanguard Total Stock Market Index or buy, you know, Vanguard's S&P 500 fund. There's really no reason not to buy those if you're just willing to ride the market. But this is very reminiscent to me of what happened back in 1999. And if you remember 1999, and you may or may not remember, and personally, I was in high school and doing high school things when dot-com bubble burst. But when you're looking through the prism of looking backwards in history, and history doesn't, you know, repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And very similarly to that time, we are super concentrated in these tech stocks, right? So we are super concentrated in terms of the overall stock market, which when tech stops leading, when tech stops being a darling, does that really come home to roost in a bad way? And it may or it may not, because that's the thing about using technical analysis or patterns in the market and reading that, that really doesn't behoove you to do if you're trying to have that be the be-all, end-all of your analysis and your planning, because it very well could look like 2000, 2001, 2002, which if you recall, when the dot-com bubble burst and the market crashed, it didn't crash fast like it did here. And even in 2007, 2008, 2009, when the market crashed, it crashed fast. Everything was falling off. Lehman Brothers went bankrupt, all these things. You know, you hear about brokers that were jumping out of, you know, 10-story windows or whatever in Wall Street in New York. But the market didn't go straight down like it did at the beginning of this year. It went down, and then it had rallies. And they are our bear market rallies, folks. So when you have a bear market, which I'm not arguing necessarily that we are truly in a bear market, but when you have a bear market, there are rallies that look like you're coming out of that bear market. That very well could be what we're doing here, which is what happened in 2000, 2001, and 2002, where it actually stretched out the pain over a three-year period. And if you're, again, if you are accumulating, if you are still buying into the market, you're still putting money away, then it very well could be a good thing that it does that because you're buying on sale. But if you are in that retirement red zone, if you are getting close to pulling the trigger and pulling your money out and you don't have time to continue to ride that wave because you need to turn this money from saving into spending because now it needs to be your income, maybe it would be a good time to take a look at that. Make sure that you don't have too much risk on the table. And there's a lot of different ways to do that, to look at how much risk you should be taking in your portfolio, one of which is your propensity to risk, right? I have clients that are in their 60s and their 70s that are 100% stock because they have a good pension. They have stocks that buy dividends. They like to own those stocks. They want to own those stocks, and they don't believe in bonds. And I'm not saying you go out and buy bonds to pay, you know, interest, because bonds price right now is just off the charts too. Like it looks to be that sort of, you know, conflagration. I can't think of the word, but where everything comes together and starts to go down because they're both at, you know, all time high prices. But that was also the case a year ago. That was also the case in 2019. Once we came out of that 2018 slump, and 2019 made a run, because you can find a case. If you go out there and you search for hypothesis or theses on the market and technical analysis and where the market is going to go, you will have folks that say, no, this isn't reminiscent of 2000, 2001, 2002. This is actually reminiscent of the rally that happened after 2009, the 2009, 2010 rally, because of the way that price and valuation has gone. And I won't get too much into it because it's more of a visual medium to look at it, but there's a very real possibility that the market rallies 12% from here. And it very well might. And so that's the hard part about planning for your retirement, is you want to make sure your portfolio is built for both of those, whether the market's going to go down or going to go up, you know, if we have a 10% correction or a 12% growth from here. But I would argue that if you have rode through this last year and now you're feeling, okay, well, I'm feeling a little comfortable again. We've gotten back to the point where we're at the beginning of this year. But if you have only a couple years until you need that money to start paying you, we need to turn that money that you've saved into a true retirement plan that's going to pay you for the rest of your life. You've got to cover your living expenses, your mortgage, if you still have one. You know, Social Security only goes so far. So if you have a big pension and you have Social Security and that's covering your, you know, your living needs, your medical expenses and your living needs, then great. Let's put the money in the market and try to grow it, right? So we can leave something behind for your kids or your grandkids. Or so you have some money just for funsies to go on trips once they open everything up again. Maybe buy Carnival Cruise Lines, because I think if you own 100 shares of it, I think you get a discount. I heard that the other day. Not saying you should buy Carnival Cruise Lines at all. But if you want to, if you're a cruise person and you want to get some discounts on the stateroom stuff, I believe 100 shares is the line that you have to get above. You have to be an owner of 100 shares of Carnival Cruise Lines, and you get some wicked discounts, I believe, on cruising. Again, not saying cruising is something you should do or Carnival particularly something you should do, but I read that today and thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. But if you are approaching that red zone, that last push before you need to turn that money into steady, sustainable income, then it might make sense to take a look and see, do we have too much risk on the table? The old adage, and I go back to it again and again, you will never go broke taking gains. Okay, folks, you're never going to go broke taking gains. You are going to go broke trying to hold on till you can get the highest portion, and you might go broke selling at the bottom because of fear, right? Fear and greed. You'll hear that a lot when I talk about the market. Fear and greed is the next big risk to your retirement and to your money, because if you are getting too greedy and trying to bring in too much return, you might be taking more risk than you need. And if you're too fearful because you have too much risk, then you might not stay invested if the market rips up another 12% and you missed out on significant gains that could set you up for the rest of your life. So if you haven't been in to have that discussion with a financial professional, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. One member of my team, we will give you a breakdown of where you're at. We'll give you a detailed analysis of your portfolio. We will tell you what we would do if you were working with us and how we would handle that. And there's no obligation, folks. It doesn't cost you anything. This is something that if you go to a lot of financial planning firms, they may charge $500, $1,000 to do this kind of planning for you. We look at it as a value add to the community. And if we can add enough value to you, maybe you want to work with us. And if you don't, that's okay too. Because the biggest key for us, and it's been Chuck's mantra from the beginning, is making sure that we get people taken care of. Whether or not they're our clients, you're still listeners, you are still folks that we are concerned about. So I'm going to take another break here, and then I'm going to come back with some other opinions. You get to hear me opine. If you want on a new show or next week or weeks after that, want to hear your question specifically answered by myself or for one of the experts, send it to askbo@pfgwm.com. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you're reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
And welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking with me. Thank you for your questions. I do really appreciate them. Wanted to spend a little bit of time now in this, third segment today, talking about some questions that have come in directly in the practice as we've talked about it, and also that have come in over the interwebs, specifically about planning from an estate perspective. And Taylor is not here today, unfortunately, so I cannot give her expert opinion on it, but I can tell you what I have experienced in my career in dealing with estates and probate and things passing along. The big thing is, the pushback that I get a lot is, we had our will, reviewed 10 years ago. We set it up 15 years ago and they haven't reviewed it. And we just don't want to pay the money to have somebody look at it. But it's really important, folks, to make sure you take a look at the will. The question I've got, was how often do I need to review my will and my beneficiaries? And I would argue you need to review your beneficiaries maybe every 5 years just to make sure. But your broker, your advisor, your team, your advisory team needs to be maintaining that and monitoring that to make sure that it's set up properly, because you want to make sure that things go the way that you want them to go. And Taylor has mentioned it a lot of times, but it's worth bringing up again. The beneficiary designation on your IRA or on your 401k trumps your will. So even if your will says, I don't want this money to go to my ex-husband, I want it to go to my daughter, but your beneficiary at the old 401k you had when you were working at Nike still says your ex-husband, and that's where the money's going to go. So if that's what you have set up, that's what's going to happen, okay? And the big thing that you really need to worry about is making sure that that is set up properly. Now, if you have a trust that has been set up since you set up those beneficiaries at your with your IRA or with your 401k, review with the attorney that helped you set up the trust. What do we need the beneficiary designations to say on my IRA and on my 401k to make sure it matches up with what the trust has specified, right? You need it to match up with what the trust has specified, because otherwise it's going to get all wonky and your heirs are going to have real problems following up. This is especially true, folks, for life insurance. So if you have life insurance that's offered through work, and a lot of times people have one times their salary, two times their salary offered as a benefit through work, or they signed up on a group plan, which can be really beneficial because it's either, you know, no underwriting or limited underwriting, or it's guaranteed to be issued. So it's really beneficial, and it's oftentimes much cheaper than buying it yourself because you're getting it as part of a group rate. But when you set it up, you might have set it up when you started at the business, which could have been 10 or 15 years ago, and your life has changed. Things have changed. So you want to make sure that those beneficiaries are updated properly and are set up to properly pass to the people that you want it to pass to. This can be especially problematic. So I had a question that came in from a listener about they have their money set up, a little over $1 million in taxable money and a little over $1 million in IRA money. They have plenty of money coming in from pensions. They're both retired teachers, this person said. So they have pension and Social Security that covers their basic living needs, and they're really looking to just leave the money and their property to their kids. And that's great, right? If you're in that situation, that is amazing, and you are really helping to set your kids up and their kids, if they have kids, for success in the future. But the problem is, if your money, the big thing that jumps out to me when you say you've got over $1 million in IRAs, what worries me about that is that's tax-deferred money if it is actually IRAs. A lot of people confuse IRAs and 401ks or 403bs. So this person's a teacher. So they may have a 403B left behind at the school district they worked at. And the rules are different for the 403Bs and for 401Ks and for IRAs when people inherit them. And so it is worth exploring. My argument and my personal belief is that an IRA is better for flexibility. Now, it can cost more sometimes, depending on how you use it or who you work with. And you may have more management that you have to affect on it if it's in an IRA rather than a 403B or the TSP, different things like that. But it gives you a lot more flexibility, both from the perspective of managing it while you're living in terms of taking withdrawals, and from the perspective of managing it for your heirs when you try to split it up or you have beneficiaries. I can't tell you, it is a royal pain to deal with 401k companies and 403Bs particularly when a participant passes away, because unless it's a spousal participant with the TSP and with the 403B, unless you've turned that into a lifetime annuity, which I would argue, we've talked about this before, I would argue that's almost never the right call, almost never, to turn it into a life annuity, because then you're just gambling with whatever insurance company they place that annuity with that you're going to live longer than their actuarial science majors think. And those people are smart. And insurance companies are not in the business of not making money. So I look at it that annuitizing is almost never the right idea. Now, certain situations, you know, that applies. But from my perspective, lifetime income is fine. It's great, actually, if you have a lifetime income. But annuitizing is not great, because I want there to be money left over if you don't use it all for your heirs. I also want it to be available to you if you need it for needs that come up. You never know what's going to come up. But if you have all of your money in a tax-deferred IRA, number one problem, is it in an IRA? Because I want to make sure that it's actually in an IRA so that way it can pass to your heirs the way that you want it to. And it gives your spouse, if your spouse is your sole beneficiary right now, a lot more options, particularly if your spouse is significantly younger than you. It gives them a lot of flexibility. But with the new rules around inheritance, the big problem that I see is that it is tax deferred money, right? So it's tax-deferred money. So when you pass away and pass that IRA or 401k to your kids, they have to take that money out within 10 years. That's the new SECURE Act, right? Which I know has ground the gears of a lot of my colleagues and a lot of estate planning folks as we've been working with this, you know, set of rules for a long time, and now we've changed it. So now the rules are different. Now, it gives the beneficiary some flexibility because you don't have to take RMDs like they used to. You just have to take it all out within 10 years. But the lack of flexibility of being able to use that IRA to maybe set your grandkids up and stretch that money out. It's called a stretch IRA. That is no longer a thing. And so if you have tax-deferred money and you're leaving it to your kids, and your kids are maybe in their 40s or 50s in their highest income-earning years, and we've talked ad nauseum, I don't care who takes over, who wins the election this year, who wins the election in the coming years, taxes are not going to go down from where they are. That I just don't see any way that taxes at historic lows are going to go down. The government's spending money left and right. So whether that's a Republican government or a Democratic government or, you know, Green Party government, whatever, I don't see a situation where taxes go down in the future, especially in the, you know, 10 to 15 years from now, or when the taxes sunset here in 2025. So if you have set your kids up with having to take that money out in the first 10 years when they're at their highest earning years, sure, they can take 1/10 of it out over time. But if it's a significant size, if it's $1 million or more, if it's a large sum of money, that could really put them in a world of hurt tax-wise. Whereas if you are right now, while tax rates are low, living off of the rest of your money, so you've got a significant amount of taxable money, you know, in a trust, which is great, and it's great to hear that you set up a trust. But if you've got a significant amount of taxable money, can we use that in coordination with the IRA to maybe move that money to Roth? Or to donate some to charity, to be have some charitable distributions whilst converting to Roth, right? Can we have a combination where we can get your kids to have that money? Now, the Roth has to be removed within 10 years, just like the IRA, okay? So it's the same thing, except for the Roth is tax-free, folks. So you need to get that money into Roth, if at all possible, and utilizing the Roth conversion when taxes are historically low can make a lot of sense. Now, this particular listener has a great situation because they have a significant amount of taxable money, too. And if you're in your 60s, you have significant taxable assets like a trust account or an individual account, and you have significant IRA assets, and your goal is not to spend the money. Because if that's your goal, folks, that's great. I have one client who said he wants, and I tell this story all the time, and I love it. He wants his last check to be to the funeral director, and he wants it to bounce. His view is you can't take it with you. This is my money. I saved it. I'm going to use it. And that is a great philosophy. I got to tell you, that's a great philosophy. But if your philosophy is you want to set your kids up for success, you want to be charitable, you want to pass this wealth on, then let's talk about optimizing it from a tax standpoint. Because at this particular point, if you have $1 million in taxable money and $1 million in an IRA, that's a huge ticking time bomb. Huge. Because it's going to grow over the next few years, right? If you're doing the right thing, even if you have it in CDs, it's still going to grow small amounts, right? But it's going to grow. And by the time you pass away, it should be worth more. And now it's going to be a huge tax issue for your kids when, historically speaking, I think taxes are going to be higher. Now, I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot. But I just don't see any situation where taxes get lower from where they are now. So if you have that situation and you've never really looked at it and your planner has never talked to you about it, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. I'd love to talk to you about it, show you the strategies that we use, particularly if you are charitably inclined. We can leverage a ton of that to make sure that we can get your kids and grandkids set up for success. And if you decide to work with us on it, great. But if you don't, at least you have the information out there and can know what you're doing. So give us a call, 503-253-3000. We're going to take our last break here, and we'll be back with the final segment, some wrap-up thoughts, some different things that I've been seeing out there, some questions that have come in from you, the listener. If you have a question that is specific to your situation, please send it to askbo@pfgwm.com. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. As we look to close out today's show, I just want to say thank you again. I am very grateful for the folks that are listening, for you tuning in, for you sending in your questions and your feedback. The only way for us to get better as a show to bring you content that you are interested in is to hear that feedback and to know what you're looking for. And, you know, without that real-time feedback of the phone calls, which we are not going to be doing for the foreseeable future right now, we will hopefully at some point be able to do that. We need to know what you want to hear about as we, you know, bring on this new content and try to get you what is important to you. And it's worth noting, I mentioned at the open of the show, that we are available to meet you in various spots around here in the Portland metro area, but we are also available to meet with folks who are not comfortable meeting in person via Zoom or over the phone if you just had a question that you wanted to get covered. We have folks that are calling in asking about, you know, different places to put their money, which is a concept that I want to kind of talk about right now. Before I get into that, I want to mention again, we have my chief investment officer is going to be coming on. We're bringing on a partner here to run our portfolios and to talk through specific investments. So if you have a question about a specific investment, something you'd like to look at, please send that in. Now, we can't give you advice on stocks or different companies to own just because regulation-wise, we don't know your particular situation. But if there is a sector, if there is something you had questions on, precious metals, stock splits, how any of that works, I know he'd be happy to answer it. And that leads into, we are also in the process of launching a podcast outside of just this show. So we have the show that is launching on podcast, but we're going to bring some exclusive content onto there, hopefully with the help of money managers, like I said, of portfolio managers. And we have contacts with folks who are big institutional managers, right? We're talking about folks who are in charge of billions of dollars of clients' money and hear what they have to say about the market and what they see coming. So keep an eye out for that. As we announce that, we will come out with that exclusive availability. Again, it doesn't cost anything, doesn't require anything other than, you know, looking us up on your podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, Apple Music, iTunes, podcasts, Google Play, that sort of thing. It's all free stuff to get you more information. But so a question that, you know, I get a lot lately is, hey, CDs are so bad right now. I don't want to lock my money up for 5 years for 1%. Where do I put money if I've got, you know, liquid money that I want to get in there and working? And I'd say if you are not willing to have a give up, and that is whether you're willing to not take risk with it, right? So you either got to put it at risk or you've got to lock it up for a little bit of time. And whether that's with a CD type investment or, you know, a fixed index annuity or a multi-year guaranteed product, something that will guarantee you some interest. And right now we have 3 years at 2.5% and 5 years at 3.1%, which is not that exciting, but it is more exciting than what you could get at, you know, at the bank. But in order to do that, you have to give up 90% of your liquidity for that period, right? You can get 10% of your money out if you needed it, but you can't have liquid money that's earning anything really in those type of products. So you have to, if you're not willing to have a give up, which is fine, if you, you know, you either got to give up safety, and then we can talk about putting it into the market and investing it in things that could grow, or you got to give up time, liquidity, right? Market investments are super liquid, right? If you're investing money in the market with your advisor or with us, it's 3 business days is usually how long it takes for us to get that money back to you in your bank account. It's pretty liquid, pretty fast. But if you're not willing to take risk, then you got to give up time. And whether that's in a CD or those other products, you got to give up the ability to use it. And so without those give ups, what the advice that I've been giving to folks, and I continue to do so, is to go online and bankrate.com, B-A-N-K as in kilo, rate.com is a good resource. But you can also just go to Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever search engine you use and type in best online savings rates. And right now, there are several banks that are paying over 1% on a savings account. So you can get 1% interest on a liquid savings account. And the big key I would tell you is make sure that it is FDIC insured. So you'll see them say member FDIC. Okay? Member FDIC. This is a good spot for emergency funds, for funds that are going to be needed in the next 6 to 12 months, because none of that should be locked up or put in the market. And Citibank, I believe, was a little over 1%. You know, Citi, it's a big bank, right? They're FDIC insured. So that's a good spot to look. If it's money that needs to be liquid, the big key is make sure it's a member FDIC, okay? And then also make sure that it doesn't have an annual fee. Some of them will offer, you know, we'll pay, you know, 1% on the first, you know, $100,000 you put with us, but there is a $200 annual fee. Great. So you can earn $1,000 a year, except minus the annual fee of $250, right? So it makes sure that there isn't an annual fee and there isn't a minimum balance. Those are the good ones too. If you're looking for, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 that's been sitting in a savings account earning you 0.1% at the credit union, I would encourage you to look at those online savings accounts. The other question that I've gotten a lot too is how to take the best advantage of these interest rates that are out there in terms of mortgage rates, right? Because right now, a 30-year mortgage, you can get it like 3%. But I don't think you're going to find those rates if you're looking to refinance. I don't think you're going to find those rates anywhere at the big banks because of the way that the federal funds rate is working right now, because the Fed is keeping rates so low. I don't think those banks are going to be able to give you those lower rates. But call your credit union or go to the local credit union or a local bank, because they're going to have a lot more access to those lower rates. I would also encourage you, if you're looking for a mortgage or shopping for a mortgage, don't be opposed to working with a mortgage broker, okay? Because that word broker has a negative connotation, but that mortgage broker is just, generally speaking, yeah, there may be a slightly higher closing cost to work with them, but they may be able to shop the rate around, because Wells Fargo is going to give you Wells Fargo's rates. Credit union is going to give you the credit union's rates, right? And they might be better. But that mortgage broker can shop around to various different mortgage companies, you know, different banks and stuff that will give you a better rate. So if you're looking for the lowest rate, I would encourage you to shop around for those type of things. Another question that came in via email was about, if I have purchases coming up with the volatility that we see coming in the market and things with the election and, you know, given my thoughts, so mine personally, on what's happening in the market, should I take that money out of my investments in order to pay those bills? And I would say yes. If it's something you're going to spend in the next 6 months, that money should be in cash. That should be your liquid money. That should be, you know, we color code it when we talk about red, yellow, green money. That should be your yellow money. No risk, no real return, but no risk on it. Because if you have a $10,000 bill that you got coming up, and so you've got money set aside for it and it's working in the market, that may be down to $8,500. 15% reduction in the market is not unheard of and not crazy to think about. So if it's money that you're going to need for a purchase in the next 6 months, it should be in cash. Okay? So you can utilize that online savings account, maybe, or utilize another money market account of the credit union, something like that that is guaranteed not to go down, because if you're going to need that money coming up soon, you really need to have it be safe. And it needs to be in a safe place, and it needs to not be subject to market risk. Because the worst thing you can do is take that money out when you're down already, right? And you want to make sure that you are not reducing further. If you're down 10% in your account, so let's say you've got a $100,000 account, just for easy math. I'm a simple guy, I like simple math, right? Your $100,000 account, And it goes down, I'll use 20% just because it's easier math too. So it goes down 20%. Not unheard of, right? Not crazy. It went down 35 beginning of this year. But so let's say it's down 20%. So now you have $80,000. What kind of a percent return does it take to get back to the 100? Okay? Or let's even say it's down 15% and you're taking $5,000 out a year because you have $5,000 that you're spending. So we're down 15%. We're down $15,000 in market value. And now you got to take five out to pay those bills. Now you're down 20% total because you took 5% of that, of the beginning value, right? What does it take to get back? It takes $20,000 worth of earnings. Well, that's easy. We took $20,000 out. It takes $20,000 to get back. You are absolutely correct. But that $20,000 is not 20%. It's actually 25% return because you are starting from a lower level, right? You are starting from $80,000. It takes 25% actually to get back to even. Now that gets exponentially worse the more risk that you're taking in your portfolio, which is why the one thing that we can control in our portfolios is how much risk we're taking. And whether that's your investment portfolio, your holistic portfolio at Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we take a holistic view. Okay, we're taking a holistic view of everything in your portfolio. That includes the land that you own, the home that you own. If you have investment properties, if you have gold, silver, all those different things, we want to build all that into your plan to find out how much risk are you taking and is that a sustainable way to manage your retirement? Because now we are no longer in accumulation mode. We are now in distribution mode. Or if you're getting close to distribution mode, do we want to get set up for that? Have a plan. Get it ready. So if you'd like to take a look at how that works, meet with a member of my team, whether that's virtually or in person, in our Clackamas, our Vancouver, our Tigard, or our Bethany location, you give us a call, 503-253-3000. As always, for radio listeners, it is no obligation, and it does not cost anything. We do it's free, 90 free, which is a really good price. I like to say that free, 90 free is a great price. Because that information is out there, and what you don't know can hurt you. And we're coming up on time, so I appreciate you guys listening today. I appreciate you tuning in, folks. Thank you so much. I hope you're staying safe and healthy out there. I hope you are being kind to each other. That's the biggest thing we can do as we come into this, next phase of the new normal. Be kind to each other. Wear a mask. Be safe. Be healthy. God bless you all. This is Investing Simplified.
Financial Group Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth Management. We do investing simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you're reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.